this is part of a pond that extends up here into your, this is just the kind of tail end of it that's on school property. And there's a pond down in here. Is that the pond that you're adjacent to?
Yes. It's kind of on the horseshoe. There's a horseshoe. I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but there's, you know, those fourplexes are on the horseshoe. The people who are concerned seem to be living in the side-by-side part of the complex, which is way, well, okay. When you're driving it, it doesn't
Here's St. Martin's.
Okay. That's St. Martin's. Okay.
Here's the entrance.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, I guess it is. So, actually, that doesn't concern us at all, even though I was just wondering if you were going to be doing anything to those wetlands in the area where I lived. It abuts the pond, and then it goes over to the, between St. Martin's and Loomis, you know, there's, but I guess that's
This is the area I think you're talking about here, and the answer is no, we're not doing anything.
Okay, all right, that's fine. I still think it's a nice idea, you know.
Thank you.
It sounds like a great.
So I'm just on record that I want to say it seems like a great experience, like a great learning tool for the children.
So excited about it.
By the way, for the record, we do have a note on the notice from a Corinne Koenig.
That's sworn in.
Mm-hmm. What?
Not sworn in.
Who is not sworn in, but there it is. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close the public hearing. Questions from the commission? Mr. Haley.
I guess I'd first like to say this is a great thing. The education outreach is a great opportunity for the kids. There's no sense in just preserving and not impacting wetlands and not being able to teach the lesson of what they do. So I think you're going in the right direction, and the scrapes are one of the best known ways to enhance existing wetlands. It basically gives them a new lease on life. That said, I have two quick questions that I think are fairly simple. Your drawings indicate some of the trails are gravel/grass. Does that mean you're going to sort of grade out a gravel path and let the grass grow on? And I'm just curious as to what that looks like, or does it mean one or the other?
Well, we want them to be passable, so the paths that right now are in areas where the ground is solid, mm-hmm. those are just grass, and that in some cases is in all the cases it was the prairie that was planted in those areas, and all we've done is to simply mow enough that the kids can walk down them without picking up the ticks and whatnot, so.
It'll be one or the other.
That's the extent. Now, there's a portion of the trail that we want to cross this end of the wetland, and that will probably need to be built up. We're anticipating needs to be built up with stones in order that it's solid enough that we don't get ruts and those kinds of things. So that is part of the areas that are spelled out as being impacted.
Great. And then the other question is for the scrapes, what's the plan for dealing with the excavate? Is that being worked into shoreline berms or put elsewhere on the site or being hauled away?
It's it'll stay on site, and the storage or the burned up area is back in this area right here.
Great.
So
thank you.
It won't be trucked.
No, and that's the right thing to do, but it will have all those invasives in it, so you want to make sure that dries out and dies over time.
Yes.
Great.
We will.
That's it.
Anyone else? Commissioner Leon.
So a couple of questions regarding the privacy issues. As it stands now, and I believe, according to Mr. Deedle, even including the Environmental Commission's suggestion, that do I understand correctly that this area is not currently open to the public?
That's correct.
And that the applicant, you said, would have to have some conversations about even entertaining the possibility of opening the area to the public beyond school children, correct? That they were favorable, you got a good response to children, but the conversation really didn't get started on anything past that.
We did not discuss opening up to the general public per se.
Okay.
The school operates in some different modes where a lot of the time we're in session with kids in the school, and it's much simpler if we're not open to the public at those times. Just like any school you go to these days, there's a certain amount of precaution and security that goes on. So the school day is one thing. Now, the facility is used by various community groups, you know, by appointment, so to speak, in the off hours. And so the school is not, you know, opposed to being open to the public on a limited basis, but each one of these uses of the facility takes a discussion and understanding of how it's going to be, how it's going to be used. And when it comes to any part of the facility, you want to make sure that if somebody is going to be using the facility, that we know ahead of time there's some kind of supervision. Somebody needs to kind of lock the door on the way out and make sure that somebody's hurt, all those kinds of things, and that gets addressed. So instead of talking about having the property open to the public, there's a conversation that needs to go on. I mean, to come to an understanding of what the conditions of that committee and that committee should be worked out. Not okay. And the school is, you know, I talked a little about having this be available open for some capacity for other school and students to use, and I got a very positive response from them. So
that addresses part of it. Is there anything now restricting access to the area in terms of signage or gates so that, I don't know what the full school year is at ICS, but if, you know, the time of year when during the day people may go to that area, see a boardwalk and want to walk it, but see a sign saying, you know, private access only, and restricting access to the public so that some of the privacy concerns would be already, assuming that this were never made open to the public beyond school children, that there's something to stop people from going onto the boardwalk and addressing some of the privacy concerns that I think that I heard during the public comment period.
Sure. We are not open to the public per se. We let people know that they're on private property. And technically, if they're there, they're trespassing. So we can talk about the very thing statute and some of those kinds of things. We don't have a fence up around the property. We are not in the mode of trying to wall people out. And there are neighbors from Deerwood and elsewhere, I assume, that do come through. Oh, I'm sorry. There are neighbors who I know over the years have come over and run their dogs and have walked through the property and things like that. And we want to be good neighbors. The school is really, you know, it's a friendly group and they're trying to be good neighbors. But
it's closed.
We're trying to strike a balance here between being open entirely to the public and coming up with some of the issues like you're talking about and being a completely gated off facility. So we're trying to strike that balance and, you know, be good neighbors. We occasionally have things like deer feeding stands that get pushed over into our property and politely push them back over where they came from. You know, there's a lot of that that goes on. But, all in all, I think it works out fine. I guess the question I would ask is, or pose, is really the extent to which this would create any more opportunity for somebody to come onto the property and be nosy, so to speak, than without it. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
Thank you.
Alderman Dandrew.
I just had one question in regards to, there is a scale on the bottom of your map that says 450 feet. It appears that you're probably close to 900 feet away from any residences across the street. So you're in essence... You're in essence... 3 football fields away, in my observation.
Speak loud.
You know,
yes.
So in essence, to see anything in realistically, it's going to be extremely difficult to see something 3 football lengths away.
Well, what I would suggest or submit here is that there are other areas that are much closer that are either right next to the roadway or on the roadways that I would think pose the same kind of potential problem. I don't think I can, or I hope we don't have to come away from this saying that, we think the kids shouldn't be able to use a pair of binoculars to, you know, watch wildlife someplace on the property.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty good group of kids, and I don't think that any of our teachers will allow for a minute for somebody to pull out a 1,000-pound spotting scope up here and spend their time caring for people who know that our staff is just. I just don't see that.
Well, the reality is, frankly, it's the only people extra other than ICS students would be those from Franklin Public Schools or one of the parochial schools who have arranged to be there. I don't see this as an issue. They'll be supervised. I'm sorry, ma'am. We've closed the public hearing. We've closed the public hearing, though, so I can't entertain your question. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Anything else from the commission? Okay. We'll move to the business part of this. Is there a motion to recommend approval of the Indian Community School of Milwaukee, Inc. Natural Resources Features Special Exception pursuant to the standards, findings, and decisions recommended by the Plan Commission and Common Council and consideration of the Environmental Commission recommendations?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We heard you. We understand. And there is a second motion relative to the site plan. Is there a motion to approve a resolution amending the site plan for the property located at 10405 West St. Martin's Road to allow for construction of a system of trails, a recreation/educational boardwalk with an outdoor learning platform with bench seating and an overlook dock and 4 wetland ponds within and adjacent to wetlands located north of the existing school building, subject to approval by the Common Council of the related natural resources features special exception?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. What we did was approve their changes to the wetlands, the scrapes and that kind of thing, and allowed them to build into the wetland. And then we changed their overall master site plan to reflect those changes. So that's what we did. This will be on the Common Council meeting on the 21st. And if there's a larger issue, feel free to speak then as well. But we did hear you. We got it. Okay.
Talk to him.
Okay, we'll move on to item D1, master sign, Mr. Car Wash signage. Mr. Fuchs or Mr. Deedle. Mr. Deedle.
Staff is recommending this would be a minor PDD amendment, so we would be no public hearing for that. I have to be one of the motions if the Planning Commission agrees with that. So again, this is the existing car wash. It's going to change ownership. Got a new person wants to put new signage, new canopies, add some landscaping to the north side of the building that was supposed to be added the last time when the hotel was built, and also I think some minor.
Hold on 1 second, Joel. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Tim. You guys are supposed to stay through the whole meeting. It's part of the rules. Okay, Joel. Thank you.
So, that's the change. Primarily, that's the changes. Some parking lot striping changes possibly as well. Some require a PDD amendment, and staff's recommending it be minor. We have two recommended conditions. One was a cross-access easement. We couldn't find anything. We gave us a copy. Now we got, there is a recorded copy of the cross-access easement. So we'll be recommending that that condition be removed. The second condition, the building inspection department hadn't undertaken their technical review of the signage yet. So that's the second condition that we still want to keep. Also, the condition is worded such that that sign will have to meet the municipal code signage requirements. And I can mention in that regard, the building inspector did talk to me yesterday expressing his concern. The existing car wash already has a variance for the sign that faces towards the Loomis, granting them an extra 20% from the size of the sign, and that's the maximum we can grant. The signage that's in this packet appears like it might be larger, and so he's got concerns and would recommend not approving that. As the condition's worded now, he and the architectural review board would have the final say on that. But he's indicating to me that if for some reason the planning commission was going to try to approve this, he's recommending both, not that extra signage or the extra amount of signage. So with that one remaining condition, staff's recommending approval.
Where is that one remaining condition? Which check?
So it's in the end of the standards and findings, like italics. So we fill out the rest of that form before it goes to the council. We never fill it out as a presentation. But it would be the same kind of statement as what's in the environmental. So it's in the...
There was a form order. Yeah, but...
Section 1, page 2. So the two conditions are in Section 1, page 2 of the ordinance. And so we've been saying we already met condition number 1, which is remove that. But we are still recommending the two conditions in Section 2.
Questions from the commission? The applicant here? Please give us your name and address so I can say welcome.
My name is Jeff Natrop. I'm with Renner Architects, 643 East Erie Street.
All right, you're not the owner.
Okay.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission?
Here, Steve.
Alderman Dandridge.
The sign that they're pertaining to is the sign that's on the north, and if you look at what's existing versus what's proposed in regards to these dimensions, it's much bigger.
Yeah, no, we're aware of that, and the signage contractor is actually proposing reducing the background and adjusting the letter sizes if we have to.
You do have something on the east that is a smaller footprint.
Right.
You may want to look at that one.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that, because I already had conversations with Mr. Deedle.
Okay.
And but I'm just one vote on the committee, but it's going in the right direction.
Right.
Okay. That was my only concern.
Okay.
On the project.
I think we're going to address those.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Super. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission? Okay. Seeing none, I'll move on to the determination of the minor amendment. Is there a motion determining that the proposed amendment to be a minor amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On the Plan Development District Ordinance Amendment. This includes Condition 1. Is there a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to amend the Section 15-3.0439 of the Unified Development Ordinance, Plan Development District Number 34, which we know as the Hampton Inn and Suites, to allow for the installation of new signage, canopies, bollards, and reconfiguration of the queuing lanes at Mr. Car Wash, Number 488 and 498, subject to the review and approval of the Architectural Review Board and the City Building Inspector as required by Chapter 210 of the Signs and Billboards of the Municipal Code.
And delete
Condition 1 of the draft ordinance, page 2, under Section 1.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion of that motion. Commissioner Haley.
Just a quick comment. Whoever picked your landscape plants that were required to be added was a good choice. They're not going to get too big, the arborvitaes. They were the right ones. Tell them good job.
You just rang the bell because Commissioner Haley never compliments on landscaping.
Because you usually don't get it right.
It's like, what is this? This is two deals in a row, too. What's going on?
Thank you. Ever.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item D2, Payne and Dolan. Clint? You're up, baby. Payne and Dolan, biannual report to the Plan Commission. Come on up and join us at the table and tell us what you want to tell us.
Well,
and give us your name and address, please.
Right here. Geologist of Payne and Dolan. 2123 Spring Lake Watch. So basically, we're required by the PDs to provide a biannual report, which we had discussions in the past whether it's every 2 years or twice a year.
Every two years, Clint.
So we submitted basically. It's just a one-page real short form this year. And the reason I went to a shorter form was because we have been meeting very regularly with the Board of Monitoring Committee over the last 3-4 years. And with the all the Board of Monitoring that's been going on with Stantec, I didn't feel it was necessary to go into a lot of details and things that have been covered there. But probably some of the major changes since we've been here the last time is we have purchased, as many of you know, we purchased the Vulcan material site for 2013. We've been operating the site as one site, even though there's still two PDDs on it. We're primarily using the west entrance. I would say that right now, of the 99% of the traffic is going out of the west entrance. We're going to use the other side if there's an issue with the scales on the west side. The biggest change, probably since we were here the last time, is we have purchased the Black Diamond Asphalt Plant, which would be the one on the east side of the property. This year, that plant didn't run because we were doing repairs to it most of the season. So the one on the west side is our primary plant, and we use that other one on the east as our secondary, or if you can overlook it. All our blasting continues to be done during the hours listed in the PDD. All the limits that we've had have been within the allowable limits within the PDD. I know Stantec has done quite a bit of monitoring out there. In addition, Joe Dito also has access to the 4 seismographs that we have that are permanently sized up. He can go on and find out those details. Other than that, we've been giving a lot of quarry tours to different people. Pat Gaines over at the high school has been starting to bring his environmental studies classes over. We had the school board out this summer as well. And then we're also looking at this 4th of July. We haven't had any quarry tours for the last couple of years because of where the 4th of July is called. But being that the 4th of July civic celebration, I think, goes from Saturday to Tuesday, I think, this year. So we're going to have quarry tours on that Saturday. Part of the reasons we haven't done it when 4th of July is a little goofy for the sake of employees. They really only get that one weekend holiday off. So when it doesn't really work out well with them, we've been trying to make sure that we're giving that time off. But it does work. It fits really well this year, so we want to make sure that we open that up again for the community. We're finalizing those details right now. But when we get to the end, but we plan on doing a similar thing that we have done the last 3 or 4 times, where we set up a tent right out here, and bus tours through, have equipment set up, let people get up, and look at the equipment, take pictures, see some of the brushes and things like that. So.
Can I drive an end loader?
What's that?
Can I drive an end loader?
A
bucket loader?
I don't know.
Question. May you.
Question from the commission?
No.
Questions from the commission? Is there a motion to place on file?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.